Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a new season of Packer Transplants. As always, I'm joined here in the studio by the brains of Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. But we're going to get right to it, ladies and gentlemen, and joining us live on the line is none other than the inventor of the Lambo Leap himself. Corey, why don't you tell everybody who's on the phone tonight?
Packer legend Leroy Butler.
In the house.
Man, Mr.
Butler.
I could have did a better introduction.
Nice. Mr. Butler, it is an absolute honor every time you come on. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I love helping you guys out.
Well, that means a lot. It really does. As we've talked about before, we know you follow the team pretty closely, even though you're pretty far removed from your playing days now. How closely do you follow the Packers in the off season? Do you keep up with what the team is doing or not doing, as the case may be? Do you follow the draft, or you just kind of come on board once training camp starts?
No, I pretty much follow you guys year round. I mean, not only am I a big Packer fan, I have to cover it for my website and other things that I'm doing, and it's a lot of fun too, just to see the direction of the organization, the direction of the young players they have on the team. You can see the growth of rookies, like we did with Clay Matthews last year, who was able to start down the stretch, and now we're watching another rookie that may start in Morgan Burnett. So I definitely keep very close tabs on the team.
Very good. That's the way we like it. A lot of fans, obviously, every summer and every off-season get a little bent out of shape that Thompson doesn't dive into free agency. And this year especially, he kind of eschewed any free agents from outside and signed his own guys. Do you agree with that, that way of going about building a team, keeping a team up? Do you think there's anybody out there that he should have gone and gotten, or do you like the idea of just signing your own guys and growing from within?
Well, I'm a veteran, so I definitely like the idea of a veteran team going into the playoffs. And I think what happened last year against Arizona, I think the youth kind of showed for the second or third year in a row, the Packers have been one of the youngest teams in the league. And that's okay if that's the direction that you're going, but you're going to have to go through some of the young growing pains. And when you want to beat a veteran team like Arizona, New Orleans, or Minnesota, you can see the difference in beating those teams and maybe not beating those teams. So, but the good thing about it is, Ted does have a plan. For the most part, all of his guys have made the team. They've all been paid well, and they've all been performing. So, I guess as a Packer fan, we just got to be patient and know that we have a young team, and hopefully these guys can grow up fast and to beat a team like Minnesota or the Saints, the Dallas Cowboys, who they beat last year. But this year is going to be a little different. So with that being said, I'd rather a few more veterans sprinkled in there, but, these guys have grown up now.
Definitely. And speaking of growing up, where do you see the strengths on this team? I mean, I think some of them are obvious, some of them maybe less so. Where do you look and see that this team is solid and built, for the long haul and one of the best in the biz?
Well, they have a top five receiving core. They have a top five, or maybe the top three tight end, the Michael Finley. And they also have one of the top three, one, two, or three quarterbacks. And, and Aaron Rodgers. If you have a quarterback who can complete 68 to 70% of his passes and 30 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and 4,000 yards pretty much every year he's been starting, which nobody's ever done, by the way, you always feel like you have a chance. You feel like you have a chance. And not to mention the defense. The strength of the defense is they commit turnovers. I mean, and not to mention with, Woodson and Nick Collins each had 6 interceptions, and at any time these guys can score. But at the same time, you look at the flip side of it. If you go back and look at the Pittsburgh game last year, they gave up 500 yards. So, these guys, it's a bend-don't-break system, but they feel like they can outscore anybody. And for the most part, if they take it to the fourth quarter, they expect to win the game.
Absolutely. Coming off this Saturday night game, against the Browns. A lot of gnashing of teeth in the fan community, at least, as far as the performance of the defense and just the overall, you know, the way they came out slow and the kind of sluggish at the beginning there. That prompted a lot of chatter, as it were, about the 96 team when you guys went to the Super Bowl and the fact that you didn't win a single preseason game that year, if I remember right. How seriously did you guys take preseason? How seriously did Mike take it? Was it something where he just didn't care about winning or losing and he just wanted to see his guys on the field? Did he preach that? I mean, what was the attitude around the team?
Well, the best thing about the performance Saturday for the defense was that Brett Favre finally got in the training camp. A lot of people are not talking about the defense anymore. But otherwise, preseason was for us to try out new things, new combinations, you know, a different, you know, receiving core, or to find out which blocking scheme we wanted. We never put so much emphasis on winning the game, but performing well and getting sharpened and ready. And these guys should be really ready to play Philadelphia, who runs the same offense that the Cleveland Browns just ran. And so if I'm a guy on that team, I got to make sure I pay attention to detail when I go to Seattle and try to improve each week. And that's what we try to do. Not so much the scoreboard, but you try to improve these next 4 weeks.
Definitely. Speaking of improving week by week, we've watched Morgan Burnett. You know, since he was drafted, he's kind of been the talk of the talk of the town, as it were, as far as a rookie that everyone's looking to make an impact. Especially now, obviously, that Atari Bigby's out for a while. What do you think of this kid? What have you seen? Anything that you know excites you? Anything that worries you? You know, I think we saw some questionable tackling on Saturday night, and obviously that's expected from. Yeah, a rookie getting his first start. Talk a little bit about him and just what you see and what your assessment is so far.
Well, see, people got to understand, guys, his biggest game, you know, that he played in probably was against Georgia. Now we want the guy to come in after 2 weeks of training camp to perform at a high level. He's a rookie. He's going to go through rookie pain. It's a difficult defense to learn. And I think that was some of the issues that some of the scouts had him, you know, when he came out of draft. Can he learn quick enough to be a starter? And I think it's going to take time. It's just like a rookie. The two hardest positions, I think, or really three, is quarterback for a rookie, left tackle, and safety, because you have so much information and other guys rely upon you to play at a higher level. So it's going to take him some time. I mean, he came up and made a great tackle, then again, he didn't look so good. That's what rookies do. He's going to be kind of inconsistent. So we got to just be patient with him.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when the team is talking Super Bowl and the town is talking Super Bowl, I guess, you know, it's quick. People are going to be quick to get nervous or jump on mistakes, but obviously patience is, you know, the number one thing with any rookie. Speaking of the rookies, has anybody else jumped out at you? I mean, have you looked at Mike Neal or Bulaga? Or is there anybody that, you know, you've kept a special eye on other than Burnett?
Well, I think Bulaga, I would have felt better had they drafted him as a guard, because to me he's going to be a guard, and they played him at both positions, you know, left guard and left tackle. So, you know, he's the future. So to get him on the field at the Foolish Darren College, I wouldn't be surprised if he started there opening day. I just feel like the rookies on this team, if you want to make an impact, sometimes you get moved up if a guy's injured or if a guy can't make, you know, for some reason, off-field problems like Johnny Jolly. So Neal has to play. I think Neal is one of the strongest linemen that I've ever seen outright. And this guy can move the pile. So to me, he's made the biggest impact right now, right away. And he's going to probably end up being in that four-man rotation, which some games he may even start. He's just way too strong from one guy to block. So he'll pick up two blockers, and now the linebackers can really run to the ball.
Speaking of the linebackers, something we saw constantly last year, and we saw it again Saturday night, was this hole in the defense over the middle. And it's been talked about a lot and written about, and we saw it in Arizona specifically. where you got a wide receiver on a 15-yard in or like something in the middle of the field that is just behind the linebackers and right in front of the safety. Mm-hmm. Like they have a single high look a lot of the time. Right. Is that just inherent in the defense in Dom Capers' scheme? Or, you know, is there something that can be done? Because I know you look at guys, you know, other teams that run this type of scheme, like Pittsburgh, and they have that same problem, but they don't seem to have it as much. Is that something that will be solved right. in the second year, or is that just something you have to live with from time to time?
Well, it'll be solved by guys playing better. I mean, in the game Saturday, A.J. Hawk, all he has to do is stay inside. The guy made a pretty good move on him, and he jumped outside. The guy was able to get inside. You just got to be more disciplined in your defense, and that's the one problem. If you take the game that they broke down, they weren't disciplined. If you're supposed to be 15 yards back and sit on the hash mark, guys weren't doing that for whatever reason. Sometimes it's play action, and sometimes you just get a little nosy and you get a little too aggressive. They got to know when to turn it on and when to turn it off. Otherwise, I've said it before on all my blogs, the middle of the field in this defense is the soft spot, and that's what teams are going to try to attack.
Right. Speaking of trying to attack in the soft spot, something that I wrote about today and got a lot of feedback on, and a lot of people wanted me to ask you about this. What is the deal with the defensive backs playing so far off the wide receivers? Like, there was a specific play, 2nd and 6, and Tremon Williams is giving him an 8-yard cushion, and it's Evan Moore, a tight end. I mean, I just don't. Is that something that is up to the defensive back? Is that something that is coached? Did they give him leeway when that happens? It just seems. I don't know. I can't figure out an explanation for it, and I just wonder if there's some kind of coaching point there that we're just not aware of.
Trust me, I know your frustration, and you should have it. If I'm a fan, and you see that it's a combination of both. The guy has to know when to be aggressive, and the coaches have to know when to call aggressive calls. The only time a guy should be off in this defense is when they're blitzing 5 to 7 guys going after the quarterback. But really, in this defense, you should always, if you're blitzing, you got to send 6 guys. If you send 5, they got 6 guys to block your guys. So a lot of these cornerbacks thinking, it can be an aggressive call, and they're thinking the pressure is going to get there. And when the pressure doesn't, it makes them a little tentative. So, basically, it's a guessing game. But you got to be aggressive out there, and you got to take chances. And I don't think anything out there will crawl up a guy, back if you take some chances and pick one off, 3rd and 6 if a guy's on a 6 or 7 yard turn in front of you. But sometimes, you may get a little tentative because you think it's a stop and go. But you got to play the percentages, and that's why you look at film, and that's why you talk to coaches just to take chances. Right now, there are no chances that have been taken.
Right, right. Very passive. And that's the thing. I guess, obviously as a fan, you see that and you get frustrated. And I don't want to, you want to try and be knowledgeable. You want to try and find out why these things happen, and that's why we talk to guys like you.
Absolutely.
Exactly. We are talking to Packer legendary safety, Leroy Butler. Let's just make that be known one more time while we continue the question here. Thank you so much, Leroy, for being on with us.
Always an honor. speaking of legendary safeties, you were one of, if not the greatest safety at rushing the passer all time. Is that something that's innate? I mean, I know Fritz Schirmer used you specifically in that role, especially as time went on. Is that something you think that Dom Capers could start using Nick Collins in? Sometimes, like using him closer to the line of scrimmage to try and get him after the quarterback with his athleticism? And if so, what are the types of things that he has to work on to try and get to that level?
Well, the one thing about Nick Collins, they want him to be the center fielder because he kind of covers a lot more ground than any other safety. So he's kind of the safety valve, and they don't want the rookie to be the safety valve because there'll be a lot more touchdowns. sometimes the tight end goes in motion or wide receiver goes in motion. Now Nick Collins goes from the deep safety to the 8-man front safety. And it's all of the disguise. These quarterbacks, they know pretty much know what coverage you're in, but you have to disguise it. If you're playing cover 4, you got to let the quarterback think it's cover one. If you're playing cover three, make him think it's cover five, because if you don't do that, it's just a quarterback playing darts. I mean, you got to try to use that to your advantage. That was something that me and Eugene Ramos, or me and Darren Sharper, we worked hard on our disguises. And it was up to, you know, quarterbacks to figure out. I remember a situation with Steve Young. He was looking at me and thinking I was going blitz, and I came up, and, you know, the ball snapped. I went back to the middle, and Darren Sharper, you know, blitzed in there and got a sack.
Huh.
That's the kind of stuff you got to keep that. Keep them guessing. Don't let people just know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of knowing what you're doing, or not knowing what you're doing, or waffling, as the case may be, do you have any reaction, any thoughts, any just, you know, general observations about your ex-teammate there up in Minnesota today? You know.
I'm glad you're there. I want him to come back so Aaron Rodgers can beat him.
That's
I don't want to be on Aaron Rodgers. I do not want on Aaron Rodgers' resume that he did not beat Brett Favre.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the one rivalry that he has to beat, and I want him to beat him twice.
Man.
So I'm glad to see it.
That's got to happen.
Nice. It has to
be so nice.
Absolutely. I think everybody can get behind that sentiment without question.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you've mentioned a couple times your website. What's going on with that? Are you blogging now? Have you joined the blogosphere? We're going to have to link to you.
What? Well, absolutely. We do it. Actually, it doesn't start to the first week in September, but you can go on JS Online and look at all my blogs, or you can go to lbf36.org. That's my foundation website, to ask questions, send email questions, or, you know, every week we'll pick a question, or and I'll actually make a phone call to you that you can ask your question, I'll answer it, and we'll post it on the website.
Nice.
Excellent. That's fantastic. And how's the...
I just like to keep your fans in touch with what's going on.
Well, absolutely. And that's why people love you.
Exactly.
I mean, without question. And how's the dealership going? You know, you never sent us those ads. We've been waiting patiently. You said you were going to make some TV ads, send them over.
Behind the scenes commercials.
Behind the scenes stuff, but nothing. Nothing. No love from them.
Well, you know, it's going very well. You know, we had a very, very, I can't stress enough, a very tough winter. But we're hanging in there. You can go to RoyButlerFord.com. We got a great lineup of new cars. Or you can just give us a call, 715-258-2177. And I'm there every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So you can come over and take a look at what we have, or just come by and talk some Packers football.
Nice.
That's what we like to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right here. And we'll tweet that out. We'll get it up on the blog. We'll get it on the site. So everyone should absolutely check it out. If you're in the market for a new car, which everyone should be,
yep.
You know, check it out. Leroy Butler has a dealership where you can buy a car and talk Packer football with Leroy Butler. That's incredible.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
No, you can't. You cannot beat it. It is impossible to beat that. Well, Roy, you're an absolute scholar and a gentleman for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's amazing.
It's like a dream. It's like surreal every
it's
time.
It's like a dream that happened again.
Exactly. It's a recurring dream at this point.
Well, I say, you know how I take care of you guys. You just call me anytime. You're one of the few guys, I will say this, you're one of the few guys in this whole entire world that has my personal number. So you can watch me. Don't be selling it on internet.
I don't do it. Hey. I've had that. Funnily enough, I said to Corey right before the show, I find it just insane that in my Gmail, I can search Leroy Butler iPhone and your phone number comes up.
That's nice.
And
I consider that an absolute privilege.
So thank you so much for coming on. We won't keep you any longer. You're an absolute gentleman. And we will. Hopefully, do this later in the year when we're talking playoffs.
Playoffs.
Oh, we got to do it. Take care, guys.
You Thanks. Too, Leroy. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Leroy Butler, live here on Cheesehead TV.
Can you
handle that, Corey Behnke?
I can't.
Can you handle that?
I can't handle it.
How are you? How are you, Corey Behnke?
I'm good. I'm still a little dumbfounded.
I know.
The studio moved around.
We did.
Ladies and gentlemen, we took a little time off.
If you're listening to this later on iTunes, you will not see the new setup.
We have a new lipstick camera, although it needs to change a little bit. But you know, you can see the whole studio. It's kind of nice.
And we're sitting down.
We're sitting down.
So I can just like kind of chill. And I've got someone on the live blog earlier. Cheesehead TV mug. Check it out.
Yes. We have so many items that are not for sale anywhere on the internet.
Like the cheese. Because that's how we roll.
The Cheesehead TV shirt just went out to all our staff members.
Not for sale.
Not for sale. It's like you got to be a
Cheesehead TV mug.
Not for sale. Cheesehead TV footballs. Oh, not for sale.
Oh dear. But they will be. They will. We're working on it.
One day.
We are working.
If you really want one, you can email me at contact@cheeseheadtv.com.
And we'll hook you up.
You know, we'll make it happen. Well, we can make it happen. Thaddeus, your stuff's
your
on the way.
Are on the
I
way,
know
buddy.
I keep saying that. No buttons, but he gets a shirt and a mug. It's kind of nice.
Come on, why not?
After 6 months of waiting for buttons, I figured it was all we could do.
It's about time.
It's about time, my friend.
So, hey.
Hey.
There was Packer football on Saturday.
Yes, there was.
There was a Packer football game.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about our trip to Green Bay.
Oh, we have. Well, I was going to do that in the final segment.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You want to talk about it
now. I actually didn't look at the script, so.
You don't, but that's cool.
There you go.
But you're busy building a studio, so it's Twitter.
Packers Saturday. That was pretty amazing. The live blog was going off pretty nice.
It was. The Packers, unfortunately, were not.
No.
At least
it was
the defense
funny.
Was.
I was very happy. I did not tweet my most retweeted tweet ever, which was, the Packers the year the Packers went to the Super Bowl.
They didn't win a
preseason game.
It's true, and that was retweeted the hell out of.
It was.
But yeah, so
I enjoy that. I enjoy that when my things are retweeted.
I think people like to get upset and jump to nervousness right away.
Yeah, right away.
And
it happens every year.
It kind of does. Well, no, but wait. But last year, everybody was like, "We're going to the Super Bowl after we went 3-1 in the preseason," and you and I had to calm them down. And now this year, they lose a game in preseason, and now everyone's all upset and worried, and we have to, like, keep their spirits up. So that's what we do here.
That's what we do. We are moderate people.
Actually, we're not at all.
No, we are.
Like anybody who's ever heard of Corey Rant or read a scathing blog post will know that that's not
We're more moderate than most.
That's probably – okay, okay. All right, I see that. I can – probably more moderate than most.
Most diehards.
Most diehards, yes, exactly. But only because it's insanity.
It is insanity. It is insanity.
Because we have to be. So what about Green Bay? How did you find your time in Green Bay? It was good. We went to the Packer training camp. We went to the shareholder meeting.
Yes.
We were in the press conference with Mark Murphy and Roger Goodell. I asked a question. Bob McGinn did a follow-up. Hello.
Wow.
That's pretty intense. When
Bob
McGinn is following up my question, I know something's wrong in the world.
But Bob McGinn ran away from me when I tried to take his picture.
Well, you were trying to take his picture.
I did look like the paparazzi.
You did.
I think maybe we'll be banned. I'm showing some pics now from our shareholders meeting. Maybe we'll be banned from Packers because of the way I am as a cameraman. Because I was in there and I was like in the middle of the press conference room.
That's great.
And then I turned to Paige Pearson at one point and I'm like, wow, we're in the Packers press conference room, like, okay. And they're all like, oh, this is our house.
What was hilarious was that there was a specific point where you got, like, it was the first or second row, you got down really low, and you were doing, like, a low point of view shot. I think it was Mark Murphy.
Yeah.
But you were, like, right up, and you were, like, you were so, like, earnest.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Aaron Popke, who's the director of corporate communications for the Packers, off to the side, kind of giving you the evil eye. Like, what is he doing?
They're not used to New York photographers all up in their face.
They're not used to the aggressiveness.
Well, I was following Bill Huber's lead, okay? Bill Huber's, like, running around. There's a picture here of all the press, which I love.
Right,
it's like, ooh, the Green Bay Packer press.
Right.
And they're so entitled. And
come on.
They're so entitled and privileged. It's kind of pathetic. It's the same as New York press. It's the same all over. I'm not singling them out uniquely.
Right.
But they all are.
Right.
Because they take for granted the access that they have, and they feel like they deserve it.
Well.
And they don't in most cases.
Oh, that's a bold statement. It's a bold statement.
They don't.
They don't deserve it.
If you want to see that picture of the shareholders.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, there's a picture. It's coming up of all the people.
Right.
About half of those people deserve to be there.
No. Okay.
The other half, it's like, seriously? When's the last time you read Packer Report?
Well, okay, but let me ask you. When was the last time you read Packer Report? Come on.
I don't read it.
Exactly.
That's my point. Okay? You know, Brian, you know, it was fun. It was great. It was great meeting Brian. It was great meeting Alex.
How many people did we meet? It was crazy.
It was amazing.
It was crazy. We met Brian Caravu, who, ladies and gentlemen, may I just say, today, Brian Caravu scooped the mainstream media with his report on Justin Harrell, who he talked to on the way back from practice towards the stadium. He was talking to Harrell, got a couple quotes, put it up on the blog, and then all the mainstream media was like, hey, where are all these quotes coming from? Well, you know where they came from? You know, a little hustle.
It's called?
A little shoe leather.
It's called shoe leather.
He worked it. All right. Well, you guys are over there with your privileged access to Mike McCarthy.
I tell people all the time, they're like, wait, so how do you cover the Packers? And this year we're like, oh, we have this little elf called Brian Caravu. And he goes and he finds Packers news. Okay. What did we do before Brian Caravu? Okay.
Oh, we sucked.
Six, seven years ago before Railroad Central, what did we do? I didn't realize how valuable the man was until he's ridiculous.
It is. He is.
It's ridiculous. What other Packer beat writer, okay? Who is better than Brian Caravu right now that doesn't have access? But you don't even have to caveat it.
Here's the thing.
You don't even have to. We break news every three days.
Somebody on the live blog was like, you know, because I tweeted about how, you know, Packer fans really need to understand how privileged they are to have Brian doing what he's doing out there. Because he doesn't have the access. He's doing this as a fan. And there was a moment when we were after a practice, I think the second week we were there for a training camp, where Brian and I both, like, you know, the media, they go there, they cover it, they talk to McCarthy, and then they go back, and they all have offices in Lambeau Field.
Oh, yeah.
Where they go back, and they sit at their computers.
They're really nice. I'm very jealous of a certain person's office. He who shall not be named.
Jason Wildey's office. So they have these great offices where they can go and work in solitude. And
yeah, you see Rob Domofsky's videos now are taken from where we did our reports.
And they can just, like, type out their stories, and they're fine. Well, Brian and I didn't quite have access to that after the shareholders meeting. Someone's calling us. Oh, my goodness.
Should we answer it?
Yeah, why not? I bet you it's Matt Bowen, our second guest.
Hi, you're on Cheesehead TV.
This is Matt Bowen calling in.
Matt Bowen!
Matt Bowen,
Packer safety Matt Bowen calling in our show. Matt, how the heck are you?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
Bowen, you old so-and-so, what in the hell is going on with your ex-teammate up there in Minnesota?
Hey guys, you know.
Well, we're going to get right to it, Matt.
What did Leroy say?
No. Come on. I want your unvarnished opinion here.
My unbiased opinion is I was pretty put off by the whole situation. I think everyone has been. You know, the last couple years were bad, but this one was really bad.
What makes this one worse? What makes this year worse than last year?
Well, I'd say this year was the most unprofessional I've seen, Brett.
Yeah.
Just from the text messages the last couple of weeks. And a couple of weeks before that, he said, well, I could play phone 50. Just goes back and forth so much, you know, you start making comparisons around the league. Who else would do this? Would Peyton Manning do this? I doubt it. Would Aaron Rodgers do this? No way. Would Tom Brady do this, man? Tom Brady's in a situation right now in New England where he deserves a new contract, and you don't see Tom Brady on the media, you know, basically complaining about it. You just don't see that stuff. And I think there's a value to the professionalism of playing the quarterback position in the NFL that is sometimes Brett gets a pass on. And we know how the special treatment works. It started when Chile picked him up at the airport. And let's be honest. And many people are picking me up at the airport are my wife and maybe a buddy, you know. And then going back, you know, my mom just picked me up from school when I was a kid, too. But that, you know, that's about it. I mean, sooner or later, you got to put some of the blame on the Vikes, too. I mean, Chile and that organization created this. You know, they didn't address the position throughout the draft. They were not prepared for if he did not come back because I know there's fans of Tavares Jackson and Sage Rosenfeld, but let's be honest, those quarterbacks aren't going to win a Super Bowl for you.
Right.
Brett Favre still can. So they thought, well, we'll just keep playing this game. We'll let it go on. And, you know, Brett took advantage of it, and then he went down there and begged him, and now he's back.
How much do you think the desire for a new stadium on Wilf's part plays into their desperation to get Favre back. As far as, like, that's the only way they really have a chance at winning a Super Bowl and hopefully maybe getting some public support for a stadium.
Well, I think you got to factor that in. I mean, selling seats is a big business. You know, as a player, you know that, too. You have to play a lot of put people in the seats, and the owner gets mad. I'm sure that factored in. That and the fact that they just gave both Schillers an extension. You can't give a coach an extension and have a year, an average year, which they would have had if Brett wasn't playing. So I think there's a lot of things that go into it. I'm glad you brought that up because I don't think enough people are talking about the Vikings side.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, you know, Brett does deserve a lot of criticism.
Right.
He does, but the Vikings do too. I mean, this is too extreme, this situation. That's why, you know, at times you're like, this is kind of laughable.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And you are preaching to the choir when it comes to the Vikings side. I mean, you know, it's a joke of an organization.
From not getting picks in to
exactly. So let's move on. Well, we won't talk about Brett. We won't belabor that point. I did want to get your thoughts.
Wanted to ambush you.
We did want to ambush you. But first of all, happy belated birthday to the National Football Post.
Yeah,
2 years.
Yeah. We've done okay. I mean, I think we're still learning the business. You know, I think we are starting to get there. I think it's hard for football guys to get into this sometimes, as some of us are impatient at times. But, you know, we're getting there. We're starting to understand how the business works, how to address our readers more, how to connect with our readers more. And I think we're getting there. It's a long race. It's not even close to being done, but we're doing a good job. We got some good people over there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a must. It's a must read, obviously, for every single Packer fan and football fan. Speaking of Packer fans and Packers in general, how was your time in Packers camp? You were there for the day. Obviously, we didn't get a chance to say hello, but you know, we're all busy and we're all working here. I know you wrote about Charles Woodson and Morgan Burnett over there on the National Football Post. What jumped out you about, other than the fact that you used to play in the secondary and those guys are both in the secondary, what about the savvy veteran and the wily rookie, what jumped out at you about them?
Well, you know, starting with Charles, I mean, just seeing him up close, and I think you can see a lot when you watch individual periods during camp, especially as camp gets going, you can see how guys are moving. You know, sometimes in game situations you don't get to see exactly everything, so it's nice to see him in individuals. And I, you know, with Charles, it was just like watching Champ Bailey when I played with him in Washington. So smooth, it's almost like his cleats glide across the grass. When you have a player like that that's so talented, so athletic, the way he moves almost looks effortless. You know, you see guys grinding their teeth. You can tell their legs are tired. You can tell they've been in camp and they're sore. Not with him, it's just effortless. And you can also tell, which I was most impressed with, and this is just my opinion, that's his football team. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, you can tell the guys rally around him. You can tell that everyone's watching him. I mean, he's a leader of that defense. I love seeing that. Hmm. And with Burnett, I mean, he's going to make mistakes. I mean, I hate telling Packer fans this, but you start a rookie in safety, there's going to be some times where you're going to shake your head and be like, come on, I can't believe that happened. Yeah. But on the flip side, he's very talented. I thought he was patient with his footwork. You can tell he's got cover skills by his technique, the way he uses his hands, and how patient he is out there. I was surprised to see that, especially in blitz period. You usually see rookies backpedal out of there as fast as they can, get real nervous, get real deep, get too big of a cushion to the receiver, but he was real smooth with everything, and that showed me a lot. You know, I know he has cover skills from Georgia Tech. I know he's not the biggest hitter out there, but that's sometimes overblown. If you get the guy on the ground, who cares? And I think he'll fit in nicely. I think he's going to be a nice addition, and if you're a Tari Bigby right now, you should be concerned.
Yeah, I think Packer fans are definitely with you on that sentiment. You know, looking around the NFC North, how do you think it shakes out this year? Do you think, especially now with Favre back, do you think, you know, the Vikings are the team to beat? Or do you think Green Bay grows up, in essence, and kind of pulls ahead of them there? And the other two contenders, you know, the Lions should be improved. I don't think, you know, they're going to win more than five or six games, but I think they're definitely improved. And the Bears, you know, they could surprise. So what's your take around the division there?
I still think Green Bay is a favorite. I mean, Minnesota is a favorite too. But if I had to pick and really talk about it, I'd put Green Bay at number one. I just think Rodgers is an elite quarterback. I think he's in an outstanding season. You look at that offense, guys, from the tight end and Finley to Grant, the weapons they have, a wide receiver to an offensive line, I think it's going to be a lot better than people think this year. They're going to score points. And on defense, you know, Dom Capers' defense reminds me, not exactly scheme-wise, but the way they play, you know, the way the Saints play in New Orleans. They're not a defense like Pittsburgh, like Baltimore, that's going to just squeeze the life out of you. They might bend a little bit, but they cause so many turnovers that sometimes in the NFL is a lot more important than where you finish in the standings. What I mean by, you know, top defenses in the league, where you're ranked at the end of the season. If you cause turnovers, you're one of the best defenses around. If you give Aaron Rodgers the ball on the tough side of 50, you're under and score. You know, Minnesota's defense is nasty, too. Minnesota's a very good football team, and they had to have Brett. They got him. He makes, I mean, let's be honest, would Percy Harvin and Sidney Rice be as good with Jackson Rosenfeld? No way. You know, Favre creates a lot of opportunities for those guys, and he's made them bad last year as younger players. Obviously, AP's got to stop putting the ball on the ground, but they're going to be there. I think with Chicago, I mean, I'm up in the air in Chicago. I like Jay Cutler as a quarterback. I think he's got a cannon for an arm. I think he's going to do good in Mike Martz's system. I know Mike's system from playing under him in St. Louis and Lovey, right, and all that system as well. But I'm telling you, with the Bears, a lot of talk with the offense. I think the offense is going to be all right. I think Hester Knox and Roma Shooter will get down the field. I think Greg Olsen will be used more than people think. But the key, guys, is it's Lovey's defense.
Right.
It's got to be you got to give Marinelli some leeway. Lovey's very conservative. Lovey wants to play defense and get the third down so he can play cover two. That's Lovey Smith in a nutshell. Marinelli's got to dial up some pressure. Urlacher's going to make some plays. The safety position's a big concern for them. You know, can make the right plays as a rookie. Can Chris Harris, is he still the same Chris Harris that was very talented for Chicago?
Right.
I think he's lost some speed. And with Detroit, I mean, I'm excited to watch Detroit because they're a young team. They're going to be fun to watch. I think Stafford's going to be a stud in this league. You know, they added Javon Best. You know, the defense, I don't know. The defense is, they got some new players over there, some new parts. And I know Coach Schwartz is a defensive head coach, so they're going to be better. But I still think they're a couple of years away until we're talking about them like we are Green Bay and Minnesota.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's obviously pretty much how it looks like it's going to shake out as far as, you know, Detroit and Chicago. I definitely agree that they are kind of an enigma. The question is, will the age of the defense kind of like catch up to them, so to speak, or can they squeeze out another year from the guys that have kind of, you know, can age there and they haven't really replaced those guys. Speaking of age and replacing guys, you look at, getting back to the Packers, you look at the secondary, and you look at, you know, Al Harris, obviously, battling back, as has been documented on your site, and then you got Woodson, the ageless wonder, so to speak. What is your take on the cornerback depth there? I mean, they've got, you know, the young guys in Underwood and Pat Lee who have looked decent so far in camp, and they had, you know, an up and down showing, which is, I guess, is expected on Saturday night. What was your take at camp? Have you looked at those guys at all? What's your take there at the depth, you know, with Tremont Williams and the guys behind him?
No, I like Williams. I think he's going to be a good corner. You know, obviously, I know Al's a fan favorite, and I know Al personally. I'd love to see him back on the field. I think a lot of people would. That's a big knee injury, and he's an older player. Who knows? I mean, we got to see how he moves. You'll be able to tell with Al real quick. If he comes back, he's on the field, you'll be able to tell right away, because I'll tell you what, if I'm an offensive coordinator, he's out there, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to throw at him.
Right.
You know, that's with any player who was injured. You know, when I came back after the ball made a lot when I was in the field, I went through it. You know, trying to get me off the field. It worked half the time. They're tough to come back from. If anyone could do it, Al can. He's got great work ethic. But the thing with young corners, guys, I've always believed this is, if they're not as good as you want them to be, then you pressure more. Okay? And what I mean by that is, make the ball come up quickly. Don't make these guys cover for 5 seconds.
Right.
Line them up at 7 yards and line them inside and play cover zero and go after people. Because you know what? This is what you tell these guys. Look, I need to focus on this guy. Read, run, pass. And when you see that it's a pass, we're going to send everyone at him. So you're going to cover this guy and make a play in the football, but be aggressive, and we're going to cover you with the blitz. We're going to take care of you. It works both ways. The last thing you want to do is, you know, is let those guys hang out there dry, sit back and cover. And I think those capers, if he ends up playing some younger corners this year, they're going to pressure more, and I love that out of the defense.
Absolutely. Just switching to the other side of the ball, with the offense, you got Aaron Rodgers in midseason form on Saturday. Is there anything that worries you? I mean, it's just so solid across the board, it seems. I mean, the one Achilles heel maybe might be the running game, but as we like to joke, you know, if the running game's not working, Michael, just throw it more. Is that something that concerns you? Or is that, I mean, you look at the Saints, and this is the thing that, you know, it kind of, the one thing that maybe might be the case for the running game, to use the running game more, is that, you know, the Saints were, you know, a team that threw it a lot, and they were very successful at that, but they didn't really put it over the top until they started featuring Pierre Thomas a little bit more. Even Reggie Bush got into the act, running up between the tackles a little bit more. Do you think that the Packers can get away with this, you know, kind of almost having the running game as an afterthought, or they need to work on at least getting it respectable, if not just...
I think the problem that the only issue I see with the Packers is if they play a defense that can get to them with a four-man rush. Because if you could do that, and that's why cover two came into the league, and that's why it was so successful, that's why the Vikings can run it. If you can pressure Rodgers with four guys, you could drop seven into coverage.
Right.
I don't care who you got running routes. If seven guys dropping the coverage, you're not going to get the ball over the top. What they're going to force you to do is, in that philosophy of that defense, is we're going to rush four, throw it underneath, we're going to tackle and get off the field.
Right.
You know, throw the check down. We don't care. Throw the slant. It's fine. Throw the slant to Driver Jennings. We'll make a tackle. That's fine. I think if that's the case, the way you get out of that is a run the ball. The way you get out of, a seven-man front is to run the ball right at. So I think, as highly as I think of Aaron, and I think he is a top-five quarterback in the NFL. If you're ranking quarterbacks, you got to put him up there with Manning, Brady, and Breeze. He's right after him.
Right.
And he's going to be up there at the top by the end of his career. He can be like a Manning or a Brady. But you still have to run the football. You still have to be able to run the football in the red zone. The field shrinks. You still got to be able to run the football when you're backed up. I think if Ryan Grant has a great year, then this offense becomes one of those offenses when you go into meetings to watch tape, you start shaking your head saying, well, how are we going to stop them? How do we game plan them? We can't only have seven in the box, but if we put eight in the box, we really want to single up all these guys. And who are we going to put on Finley?
I'm telling you,
tight end games changed so much in the NFL. It's not, even back when I was playing earlier in my career, it was Gonzalez, and that was it.
Right.
That was the guy.
Right.
But now, you know, Finley's a wide receiver. He lines up with the X receiver. He lines up removed from the formation in motion. We can put a guy like me on him. Yep, right. Good luck with that. It's almost like you got to bring in your sub package.
Right.
And put a nickel corner on him. So they have a lot of options. And anytime you have a lot of options, I mean, I would like to coach that because I think it'd be fun from an offensive perspective to put together that game plan. You have everything you want.
Absolutely. Speaking of everything you want and everything fans want, what is your take as an ex-player and someone who's been in a locker room and had to deal with the media and had to deal with fan expectations? What's your take on all the Super Bowl talk before, you know, during training camp? Obviously, they've had a preseason game now and they've got a lot of stuff to work on.
And do you have a Nick Barnett Super Bowl or die jersey?
Yes, well, exactly.
I mean T-shirt.
Yeah. Did you go out and buy one?
Me? No, I don't have one.
Well, what would your take? What is your take as an ex-player to, you know, that kind of, I guess, brashness? Some might say the fact that these guys are openly talking about it. I mean, they kind of, you know, Barnett was talking about, Finley was talking about it. There was a bit of a backlash in the local media. What's your thought on that?
Well, I think if you're going to talk a good game, then back it up. I think it's pretty simple. If you want to talk big and you want to talk Super Bowl aspirations, that's fine. But to come to play every Sunday, especially if it's one guy doing it and don't have a slump during the middle of the season. You got to back up that talk. That means you have to make plays every Sunday. You got to be a leader. Means you can't go running high. The flip side of it is what's the other thing? You know, we're just going to play hard, you know, the go-get-em speech. I don't know. I mean, it's a fine line because you want your guys to be confident, but you want them to all be like Rex Ryan. So, that's what everyone thinks. You know, I've always said this, is you want to talk big in the media because we know how it is now with Twitter and with Facebook and with everything.
Yep.
You say something, someone's going to hear it.
Yep.
So if you want to talk big, then that's fine, but just back it up as a player.
Absolutely. Backing it up, bringing it, whatever you want to call it, Matt Bowen from the National Football Post definitely does it. Matt, you're an absolute scholar, gentleman, for coming on. Thank you so much.
Hey, anytime, guys. You know, I'm in Wisconsin right now. It's from the summer up here, so you know I love it up here. I'm going to go drink beer right now.
Nice.
And as are we, so that's excellent. That's a symbiotic relationship right there. Matt, thank you so much. We'll look for your stuff on nationalfootballpost.com, and hopefully we'll have you on later in the year.
Hey, sounds great, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great night. Matt Bowen.
Matt Bowen from one legendary safety to a not so legendary but very good Packer safety.
Not so legendary, but a Packer safety.
Good Packer safety and now a beat writer for a major national
website.
Football
website.
I mean, there's Pro Football Talk, and then there's National Football Post, and that's there you go.
Need. That's all you need.
Wait. And the other 31.
I mean, naturally, the other 31 beats both of those. Obviously.
Actually, that's not necessarily hyperbole in a lot of ways.
I don't think it is at all.
There's not a lot of hyperbole there.
None whatsoever. All right, we need to take a break because Matt Bowen ambushed us. But we definitely need to take a break. We will be taking a bit of a break here. And when we come back, we'll have the good, bad, and the ugly. We'll talk a little bit about Saturday night's game and the Seattle game coming up and the season right ahead. So stick around. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us tonight. We apologize. We have to apologize for the lack of porn music. I can't believe how much consternation there was on the live blog for the... We've switched up the system a little bit. It will return, ladies and gentlemen. But right now, live on the
right
line...
Right now.
Brian Caravu, live from his car on his way home from Packer practice. How are you tonight, Brian?
I'm fantastic.
That was the most unconvincing I'm fantastic I think I've ever heard in my life. But I am so happy that you're on the line. Hey, I got to say, first of all, congratulations on the Justin Harrell scoop.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was the Packers distracted the rest of the beat writers with the press conference, so I could break the story.
Well, it was fantastic. A lot of people asked me about it. I said, did Brian actually talk to Justin Harrell? I said, yeah, he talked to Justin Harrell.
No, he just made a quote from him because that's
exactly
how he rolls.
I said, but, you know, they don't get upset, Corey. The people are, you know.
No, because if they understand who Brian Caravu is.
Right.
Okay, for 2 seconds, they just take the time, okay? This is redonkulous.
So how was practice tonight, Brian? Obviously, we were following your tweets. We were following the live blog, but then we had, you know, we had Leroy Butler and Matt Bowen on, so we kind of got distracted. But how was practice tonight?
Practice wasn't the most interesting tonight. They went with just shells and shorts when they were supposed to go pads. So, you know, they scaled it back a little bit. I guess the storylines from this evening, Ryan Grant coming back from his concussion, and Al Harris was spotted along the sidelines doing a little footwork.
Yay!
So those are the storylines.
Well, that's a boo and a yay, so that's I'll take that. And what about this morning? I heard there was a Will Blackman sighting this morning for the first time in like 10 days.
Yeah, first time in about a week and a half or so that Will Blackman took part in practice, and you know, he was out there doing everything asked of him, you know, returning punts, and, you know, he just looked so steady back there after watching Sam Shields, you know, Will Blackman's just head and shoulders above him as far as catching the ball goes.
Right. Well, speaking of catching or not catching the ball, Sam Shields, another drop. Porter with a bobble. Jordy Nelson even bobbled one, from what I read. Is it time? Do you, in your professional special teams expert opinion,
think it
is time for the Packers to start searching for outside their roster for a return man in the event that something might preclude Will Blackman from rejoining them?
Yeah, I mean, they just got to go with what they have. I mean, if Will Blackman isn't the punt returner, it's got to be Tremont Williams, who also just, he looks solid back there. I haven't seen Tremont Williams drop a punt all camp. And as far as kick returns go, you know, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Brandon Jackson is going to be the person returning kicks back there.
Right. Well, let's hope so. I mean, nobody looked fantastic Saturday night returning anything, so I guess we'll see as that case may be. Getting away from your role here at Cheesehead TV for a bit and getting on to your role as the editor of the Maple Street Press.
Hey, we've got a Maple Street Press.
We have a Maple Street Press here
on the set.
Of course
we do. Right behind Aaron. Right next to the Lombardi era and the Green Bay Packers that my aunt gave me while I was in Green Bay. She found it at an antique in Madison.
It's a sacred artifact. So, Brian, tell me, what's the reaction been? I know I can't go a day without someone tweeting me or emailing me about how much they like the magazine. What's your experience been there? What's your feedback been?
Let's look at it.
Yeah, I mean, same thing for me. I can't go a day without somebody tweeting me about it and saying they like it or something like that. And, yeah, I mean, I just think it's a service to Packer fans who are looking for NFL season preview magazines and they can't find anything with substantial Packers coverage in it. And this takes care of that. This is 128 pages. Absolutely zero advertisements, 100% devoted to the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, it's for Packer fans, absolutely.
Oh, here, there's an article written by Aaron Nagler. Who's that? Who's that?
Oh, dear. They don't need to see that. Don't show them that. I think everything else except the stuff I wrote is fantastic. And I am just deeply grateful that you even had me involved, Brian. Getting back to the practice and in your role there, covering the Packers for Cheesehead TV, any surprises since the game? I mean, I know we've read about McCarthy's stern demeanor and a couple of choice words that some of the coaches have had for the team and for players and in general. Is there anybody that you notice any kind of difference since Saturday night? Is there a different tenor to the practices? What's it been like since Saturday night?
Well, I guess, yeah, yesterday there was a little, the coaches were a little vocal, we'll say, at practice, Slocum and McCarthy in particular, given a couple select four-letter words throughout the course of the day yesterday. But, I mean, things were back to normal today. There no more yelling any more than usual. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a player that's kind of jumped out a little bit that people might not know about, I'd say keep an eye on wide receiver Charles Dillon, who kind of looks to be, you know. Wide receiver Patrick Williams was on the 53-man roster last year, and you would think that would give him a leg up on the competition, but Dillon is now working ahead of him, probably as the team's sixth wide receiver, you know, behind Brett Swain at number five. So, you know, it might take an injury for him still to make the roster, but, you know, if fans are looking for something, a guy trying to stand out, that's one person.
Very cool. Well, you know, Brian, You're a sport for being on the phone with us tonight. I don't know if you've had a long day.
Yeah.
And you're on your way home.
And everybody's calling us slave drivers, so we need to let you go.
Yeah, Holly, he's not a slave. This is part of his contract to deal with us after a long day of practice, for no money. So just deal with it.
He's getting
all right,
double.
Phelps. Anyway, Brian, you are a sport for joining us. Thank you so much. And safe drive home, and we will we'll see you on the blog tomorrow, and we'll tweet at you, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Sounds good, Aaron. Thank you for writing for Maple Street Press and all the writers out there, many of them on the blog. Thanks a lot.
Have a great night.
See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Caribou.
Brian Caribou.
We just bring the heat, whether it's the editor of the Maple Street Press, it's one of the safeties from the early 2000s of the Green Bay Packers, or if it's legendary safety Leroy Butler, Super Bowl winner, All Pro, we just bring it. That's what we do. And then now, ladies and gentlemen, here at the bitter end, you've got Corey and I, for which I apologize.
And scene. All right, so this little thing called a game happened. Well,
it was a preseason game. So. Not a whole lot to get worked up over, but there's some stuff to talk about.
But we still have a good, a bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Midseason form.
We got Jermichael TGI Finley.
There are no more superlatives for this gentleman.
And we got rookie Mike Neal.
Mike Neal. And as Mr. Butler put it, this guy is just going to cause all sorts of problems, is just going to be a force on this defensive line.
And we got the bad. We got Dom Capers.
Dom, really? The vanilla, really?
We got Sean. That's what you brought?
It's the vanilla, really?
We got Sean, I'm on a loudspeaker, Slocum.
You know, he needed to be on a loudspeaker on Saturday night.
Whoa.
Let's see, now people are just calling us randomly in the middle of the good, bad, the ugly.
And we got...
That's just not right.
Wait, we got to answer the phone.
No, we don't. Don't answer that. What's the area code?
864.
I don't know what that is.
Should I just say the number on the air?
Yeah, say it. That's their punishment. Call
Should
us.
I answer it?
Sure, go ahead.
Hi, you're on Cheesehead TV.
Live?
Yes.
Yeah, live.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Who is it?
Good. We're looking at asking a question here. I'm thinking that, what's the possibility that Tom Peters lined everybody up in such a way that they would just be schooled?
You mean Dom Capers?
Yeah. What's the possibility he lined the defensive backs up in such a way that they'd be schooled? And get a little bit of a lesson.
So wait, you're okay. Wait, first, what's your first name?
What's that?
What's your name? What's your name, buddy?
Fred.
Fred.
Fred. Yes.
So you're positing the theory that Dom Capers lined the defensive backs up on purpose so that they would be schooled to be taught a lesson. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, yeah.
You know. I guess okay. That's I could see that as a conspiracy theory, but I don't think that's how most NFL defenses or defensive coaches work. Maybe Al Davis.
Correct.
Maybe Al Davis out in Oakland. I'll grant you that. But
no. Correct. I agree. It's not the normal way. But he said that he would line everybody up to play, and there may be some of that in there in the mix.
Okay, I can see it. It's an interesting theory. I don't think, possibly, I think more the vanilla aspect. I mean, and that's been the talking point all week as far as, this is, we're just playing our base defense and yada, yada, yada. And then maybe some of the defensive backs, were like, okay, I don't want to get burned or whatever. But I don't think it was I don't think it was a conscious choice on the part of the defensive staff to say, this is how you have to play it so you look bad or something like that. As far as was it a valuable teaching tool? Yeah, probably. Oh. I mean, definitely. And I think a good part of it may have been, the effort that's needed right from the get-go.
Well, I agree. It was admittedly, obviously, slack.
That's a good choice of words. Yes. Yes, it was.
Thanks for calling. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Fred. Have a great night.
Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fred.
Fred.
Live on the line. here at Packer Packer Transplant.
He had a question about Dom Peters.
Dom Capers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's that?
No, wait, did we get to the ugly?
No.
No, we didn't.
Wait, we got one more bad.
All right.
Ryan Grant.
Okay, so I took a lot of grief for the old Ryan Grant thing. And let me just say this. If you fumble the ball, you're going to get put in the bad.
Uh-oh.
It's just the way
Uh-oh.
It works.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. You don't even remember what button it is, do you?
Uh-uh.
You don't. You don't even know what button it is because I don't hear anything. I know what you're trying to do.
What's happening right now?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What's happening? Why can't I have it?
I don't think he's here. I think that's tweeting. Oh, no, he's off.
Yeah, he's on.
Right, he's on.
Right. I had it already.
Oh, dear. So much for the Bedard siren. We tried, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, epic fail.
Oh!
It's the Bedard siren! Oh, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen. I thought
I was dead in the water.
What's hilarious is that Corey tested it before the show, just in case Bedard stopped by.
I sent him an invite. I sent him an invite, and I was like, here you go.
Do it. Do it. There it is, the Bedard siren. Oh, my goodness. So, wait.
That was dramatic.
What are the chances that Fred was Greg Bedard just testing us?
All right, this is Fred. I mean Greg Bedard.
Anyway. Welcome to the live blog, Mr. Bedard.
And he's gone.
He's like, you guys suck. Anyway.
Yeah, he was there for a while. I couldn't get to it.
What are you going
to
do?
He's like, later.
What are you gonna do? He's like, you guys.
You guys.
Redonk.
That was a Bedard siren? What are you talking about?
Anyway, so wait. We never got to the ugly.
Oh, yeah.
This is the worst good, bad, and the ugly we've ever had.
All right, so we have the ugly. We have Sam... too hyped for his own good, Shields.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Now, can we stop with the Sam Shields experiment? Please?
You got to talk to Jersey Al about
please.
That one.
Please. Please.
Jersey Al?
Can we just stop about it? Please. The guy's shown some ability at corner. He could be an excellent gunner. But he's not a return man. It's never going to happen. Stop it already. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, right. Like, that's all you have to say.
It's ridiculous. I mean, come on. The guy can't catch a cold. How's that for a cliche?
We're going to look at some of the training camp stuff that I shot.
There is some training
while
camp
we talk
photo.
About, we can talk about preseason means nothing except when it means something.
Here's the thing. There are points that mean something. There are plays that mean something. There's stuff like Brady Papinga showing a little pass rush ability.
Yeah.
That means something. There's there's individual stuff that you can look at. But overall, like, they look sluggish and all that stuff. You know, that's fine. That will be fixed. That will be worked on. That will be taken care of in the long term. But individually, those are the battles you want to look at. You want to look at how guys deal with certain situations. Like our good friend Jersey Al pointed out about Brian Bulaga picking up a corner blitz. Great awareness. Fantastic job getting out, kicking out, and picking up a corner on a blindside blitz for Rodgers. So it's that kind of stuff that you want to look for in preseason. But this whole, like, they drove down the field on the first-string offense, yeah, who cares? It doesn't matter. And Bogman, I hear you. Aaron, Shields is so fast. He's got so much upside. He could be somebody someday. You know, I'm going to hedge my bet and say that's sarcasm. But if it's not, yeah. And like I like to say, and as Packer Ranner likes to throw back in my face, Travis Jervey was fast. Travis Jervey was very fast.
And if I was really cool, I could be able to pull that nice YouTube clip up. That's a very 44-yard touchdown. Come on, Travis.
Travis Jervey was fast, and that's all. So I'm not saying there's a picture
there's
of
Greg
Bedard.
There's Greg Bedard. Hey.
Right there.
And there's Bob McGinn running away from me.
Well, no. That was the picture right before he started running.
Yeah.
You have another picture where he's running.
He looks at me, and he's like, and then, I did the whole frame rate.
Okay, wait. I have to say, I do have to put this out there on record, recorded for all to hear. I met Bob McGinn while we were in Green Bay.
I tried to.
And he was as nice as could be and was really lovely. And he even pretended to know who I was and even pretended to know the words
what
said TV.
He knew what a blog meant?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so,
not.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. It was a cloud nine all the way.
I chased after him after the shareholders meeting, after the press conference. I was oh, there goes Bobby Gainey's leaving.
No, I have to tell this story because it's freaking brilliant. So Brian, Corey, and I, right after they got done on the field with the shareholders meeting, we adjourn up to our makeshift office, which is actually
that Rob Demosky does his videos from.
It's like a photo lab or whatever.
There's two of them. There's the big press rooms.
We go in there and we're talking and blah 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 blah. And it's literally just the three of us talking. And all of a sudden, in mid sentence, you hear Corey go, "Bomb again, bomb again, bomb again, bomb again, bomb again." And he just runs out the door after
Bob again.
He was
so fast. He was running from me again.
It was
I think he's allergic to me.
It was so funny.
All I wanted to do was say, "Hey, Bob."
And then
how's
he came
going?
Back in, and I was like, "Did you say hi to Bob McGinn?" He's like, "No, he ran away from me."
Greg Bedard.
The saddest thing I've ever
Greg
seen.
Greg Bedard's still here. Does that mean he gets a siren again?
No
more siren.
Just upon his arrival.
Bob McGinn. Greg Bedard is insanely tall.
Yes, he is.
And yeah, I couldn't believe how tall he was.
That's so funny. You
Bob McGinn is fast.
That's what you know. What it's that's the first thing Alex said, and it's the first thing you said when you Von.
He's awesome. I mean,
Bob
obviously.
McGinn should return punts. That is the best idea ever posited on our live blog.
All he has to do is I just have to be photographing him, and then he'll run away from me.
Exactly. There we go. Jeff Blum. That's why we need press access, so that Corey will photograph Bob McGinn returning punts.
So
touchdown every time.
Let's talk about our friend Justin Harrell real quick.
Oh, we were going along so well.
And then that happened.
Everybody was having fun. And then you had to talk about Justin Harrell. Well, we did have the little scoop today, so I guess we should. Justin Harrell, back problem.
There he is, Justin Harrell.
Justin says he'll be back tomorrow. That's what he told our own Brian Caravu. It'll be very interesting to hear and see if he really is on the field tomorrow for practice. Oh, wait, are they off tomorrow? I don't even know. Wait, tomorrow? No, they're back. It's Thursday, so they're there. Okay.
Corey's moment was like when Kramer saw Joe DiMaggio in Seinfeld.
No. No.
I have a lot of respect for Bob McGinn for a myriad reasons, because I feel like Packer fans really didn't have a voice in a lot of times. It seems like when the most crushing moments, it's not the everyday stuff, but it's the times when in New York or in the White House press room, there's somebody who's the voice of the people asking the questions. Mm-hmm. And in key moments in Packer history, that man, the only person to actually ask the questions everybody wants to know and drill is Bob McGinn.
Absolutely.
So,
especially, famously, the Brett Favre press conference.
Oh, man, if I would have been in there, if I had that on video, I'd show that before every show.
We'd replay that every day. Fan-flippin-tastic.
And so what about Brian Bulaga?
What about Brian Bulaga? He's, moving around all over the place. He's left tackle. He's left guard. And as Jersey Al pointed out, he looked pretty darn good at left guard. Now, yes, he's up and down. He wasn't flawless. But you got to think, he was very promising. And as I wrote, when the day it happened, when they put him at left guard and everyone went, whoa, hey, Bulaga's at left guard. The Packers themselves, they have someone manning their Twitter account now.
It's really badly.
Covering
badly.
Practice, like a beat reporter. Pointed out before anybody else that Bulaga was at left guard. The moment that happened, I knew there was no way. There's no way on God's green earth that Darren College is going to win that competition.
Okay.
It's not going to happen, people.
No.
Darren College has no chance.
No.
Mark it down right now. Mark it zero, dude.
And you know what?
Mark it zero, Donnie.
Mark it zero, Donnie. And you know what?
Not going to happen.
You know what? Thank the Lord. I mean, that's all that I have to say about that.
I'm not on board with that.
Look, hey, if you're going to pay money, what is it, $8 million guaranteed? Come on. Give me something this year.
I want a real competition.
Give me a nugget.
The last time College had competition, he was the best guy on the line. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Look, don't get started about Ted Thompson and offensive linemen, because that's the Achilles heel. I said it last year. I said it the year before that. Every year we come down. That's the Achilles heel of Ted Thompson.
It's like
he looks at a guy and he's like, oh, yeah, he'd make a good offensive lineman. He has no freaking clue what it takes to have a good offensive lineman.
Now, come on. There was clearly, at some point, a philosophical switch or a shift in the draft room when it comes to the offensive line. Because you look at, they took guys like Will Whitaker.
Exactly.
They took stiffs like that.
Alan Barber. Oh, that's still
and
on Barber, the team, sorry.
And, like, okay, But now they've moved on from that, and now they've taken T.J. Lang. They've taken Josh Sitton.
Yeah.
And now they've taken Brian Bulaga.
Hey, Josh Sitton is the bright, shining star.
I agree, but that's my point. And who is he? He's not a free agent. He was drafted by Ted Thompson. So perhaps the paradigm has shifted.
Perhaps.
And
I will say that Bulaga move that you posted, that's redonkulous. Okay?
Yes.
That
yes,
might happen is. All the time. In like anybody else's world.
In other NFL
but
cities.
But in Packer offensive line world, okay, the offensive lineman actually doesn't get the opportunity to think for himself and think, oh, I'm going to get that guy. How long has it been since we picked up blitzes like that?
A while.
Not with running backs, not with tight ends. With offensive linemen.
Motioned into the backfield.
With an offensive lineman making the choice and picking up the guy. That's brilliant.
Yeah, well, okay.
For a preseason
game. It's fantastic.
For a preseason game.
It's brilliant.
So let's talk about Brady Papinga.
I love how you don't even like, there's just like no like pretense of like any kind of like transition here. It's just like the bullet points right from the script. Corey Behnke is just like,
well,
let's go.
Have videos to show. So we have videos
gosh
to show,
darn
so
it,
we're going to
show
them.
Them.
I have them in my
okay,
little
Okay, I posted
bar.
Today about Brady Papinga because last night I was rewatching the game and I thought, you know, this guy played really well, and no one's talking about it. I mean, here's a guy, admittedly, even myself, I have ragged on this guy for years. He hasn't showed anything other than the ability to jump on the pile after the play is over. He's horrible in coverage, yada, yada, yada. But there he was Saturday night, looking solid in the run game, and on this play in particular, which you're showing right now.
Well, I'm showing it picture in picture. Here, I'll show it big.
Show it full screen.
Here we go. Here's big.
You know, here he comes. He does a great job getting the guy's hands off of him, and then he's clearly held, and it doesn't get called. Which is absurd. You've got two officials in the backfield now, and you missed that call. That, my friends, is ass. But anyway,
it's a preseason.
I digress.
Who
it's
cares?
Preseason for the officials too. But there's two of them. Anyway, I digress. My point is, in the past, Papinga on this play. Perhaps.
Has no pass rush whatsoever.
No, but perhaps makes a move around the corner, whatever. But then he just keeps going. He used to just keep going. In 2008, he played on the defensive end spot on third downs the last couple games. And what he would do is he would rush upfield, and he would do a great job getting upfield, but then he would never corner it off. He would never flatten the pursuit to the quarterback. But in this picture, you see it. He gets up, he gets the guy's hands off of him, and then he flattens it towards the quarterback. And that's something he's never done before. And like I wrote today, that he seemed to be. I mean, obviously, I don't know what was said. I don't know. You know, you're not privy to what they're talking about. But he seemed to be taking this kind of extra instruction from Kevin Green after drill work, after, you know, teamwork, to try and ask Green about pass rushing. And it's been written how much he wants to improve in his pass rush. And you got to say, he's the only guy who got a sack on Saturday night.
I guess.
He had the pressure on that play.
Papinga's a dude who's sitting in the slot, just like Darren College, mark at zero. Let's talk about Tremont Williams.
Wait. Before we get to Tremont, I got to make one more point. Someone on the blog today mentioned this, and I think, oh, Greg, you know, just whatever. Of course he was. John St. Clair was washed up and blah, blah, blah. Greg, as was my point, if he beats John St. Clair in 2008, he just keeps going and doesn't go at the quarterback. He just gets washed outside. So there you go.
That's the Greg Bedard
he
siren.
He actually made a nice play. Oh, and wait. And later, not against John St. Clair, he did get a sack. So there you go. Did Brandon Chiller get a sack?
No.
Did Nick Barnett get a sack?
No.
Did A.J. Hawk get a sack?
But you know what? You know what?
Did any
you
other...
You know what?
Wait.
Hey.
Did any other Packer... other than Brady Papinga on Saturday night, get a sack?
No.
So I just, and here's the other point I was but about
was,
to make.
It was a preseason
Greg,
game.
Before
preseason
Greg Bedard game. Just threw water all over me, as he likes to say. Here we go. Here's my point that Greg just couldn't wait to just destroy before I even made it. You should listen, young man. Is that I don't care if he doesn't need to be freaking DeMarcus Ware, all right? I don't care about any
That's
of that.
That's true.
He or anybody, Brad Jones, anybody, just needs to provide some kind of push on the opposite end from Clay Matthews. Because all you have to do is go look at the Arizona game. You've got two guys on Clay Matthews, absolutely nothing on the other side, and Kurt Warner throwing the ball all over the yard.
Yeah.
If Papinga just does that, just a little push on third down, that's all we need.
That's
just
a lot
to
ask,
push the pocket, a little bit.
Just telling you.
Crush the pocket down, make the quarterback step up into Mr. Mike Neal.
I'm just telling you, that's a lot to ask of Papinga.
I just want him in.
It's a lot to ask, okay? I don't know if it's the Mormon religion thing or what. Did I just say that on the air?
You sure did.
Oops.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Okay, let's talk about my favorite player on the Green Bay Packers.
No, wait. I got to make this point. One more. Wait, this is bugging the hell out of me. Okay, yes, John St. Clair sucks. I will give you that, Greg. I will totally give you that. But, you know, how many sacks did Clay Matthews have last year? Many. Over 10.
A lot. Oh, right. Wait. Is he a rookie that made the Pro Bowl? Oh, yeah, that's right.
He is. And how many of those came against guys that sucked? Many. All right? Hello? He had a sack against Detroit. Do we discount that because it came against Detroit?
The siren is the representation of Greg Bedard.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. Sacks against Detroit don't count, according to Greg Bedard, because those players suck. All right.
It's a
you heard it here.
Tonight.
Everybody, go online to NFL.com. Go to your game books and erase all sacks that happened. Only if you beat elite competition do sacks in the NFL count.
Oh,
thank you,
man.
Greg. Thanks for sending me straight.
Wow. Is this your show or what?
Oh, that pissed me off. I'm sorry.
Oh,
good
man.
Lord. That's right. No, sacks only count if you beat a double team against two Pro Bowlers.
Oh, man. Man.
Good Christ.
All right, can we talk about my favorite player in the world?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tremont.
Now I come up with something else.
Tremont Williams, okay?
Right.
Let's talk about Tremont. He's got a little we got a little video of him doing a little cushion.
A little too much cushion.
That's not good.
Way too much cushion. And, you know, I love Leroy Butler's answer on this. Guys are just being too conservative? Come on. That's Evan Moore. Evan Moore is not going to run by you, Tremont. It's 2nd and 6. Why on earth are you 8 yards off?
We're going to watch it one more time.
One more time. That's all. Why is he 8 yards off? Why on God's green earth is he 8 yards off? Come up. Oh, make the stick tackle for a first down.
I'm telling you what. This kid is going to have a breakout season, okay?
You've been saying that for 3 years.
Okay. Listen to me for 2 seconds right now.
All right, I'm
okay?
I'm shutting up.
This is going to have – who's going to have a breakout season?
It's a list.
Jordy Nelson. Mike Neal. Mark it zero right now, okay?
I'm marking it.
Mike Neal, Tremont Williams. I am so sick of people hating on Tremont Williams. I'm sick of it. Sick of it.
I'm not hating.
And of course, not you, not
rampant.
You, Jersey Al, all these other bloggers.
No,
they all hate on him.
I hear you.
Okay? And, of course, how can you miss this? Every writer talks about it. Jermichael TGIF Finley. The kid is going to have the most ridiculous year by Packer tight end ever.
Ever? That's a bold statement, but I think I actually think you're
he
right.
He could.
Yep. I think you're right. Oh, Jersey Al, you know you hated on Tremont. Jersey Al asks, when did I hate on Tremont? You know why we know you hated on Tremont? Because Corey said it. If Corey said it, it's so.
That's all I got to say about that. Everybody hates on Tremont in the live
I don't know, box. Jersey Al. Stop asking me when. We don't deal with facts here.
Anyway,
we're all entitled to our own opinions. And Corey is entitled to his own facts.
It's true. And on my show, definitely I am entitled to my own facts. we want to thank Greg Bedard for coming on.
Greg, thanks.
I'm so glad I got the siren ready. Yeah, I wasn't right on
it. Thank God you got the siren ready. And then it took 10 minutes to make it work.
But it was fun. I sent him an invite. I always send him an invite as a novelty. And he shows up half the time I send him one.
You got to love it. Oh, my goodness.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? Are you ready for the show to end now?
I am so, so ready for the show to end. I've gotten it out of my system because now I have the drive home, and then I got to cut this up for the iTunes version. So it's always fun. Ladies and gentlemen, we will not be here next week due to my family vacation. But we will be back.
Oh, yeah.
The following Tuesday. And then
bigger and better.
Throughout the season.
Maybe.
All the way up through the playoffs and hopefully a deep playoff run to the Super Bowl.
And hey, while we've got him on, maybe we have one of the best, if, I'm sorry, I just messed that whole intro up.
You did
the
it.
Best, the best. T-H-E-B-E-S-T. Packer beat writer. Greg Bedard, 2 weeks. We're calling him out on it.
Yeah,
Greg. Going to come on our show? He's on our show.
You have no choice, buddy.
There he goes.
Yep. No choice. No choice. You're on the show in 2 weeks, so just deal with it. And then we'll find some other, you know, hack legendary Packer to join us as well. Greg Bedard and, like, Bart Starr will be here. We'll deal with that.
We'll figure it
out. We'll get there. We'll find somebody. Maybe Paul Hornung will drop by. We'll,
oh, he's busy. He's busy. Sorry, I'm busy. Don't call me. I'll call you, he
says. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Market zero, Greg Bedard on the show.